greetings this morning in the name of our risen Lord. I have about 6 points I want to touch on, and there might be some add-ons. You know that that the resurrection of Christ is the most important event in history since creation. There is no other religion that has a person living after he died to direct their people. Not a one. So, aren't we blessed to be able to have this living Savior that gives us direction in life? He has left his operating manual with us. Sometimes when we get new machinery, we forget to look at the operating manual. We just start operating this machine. That's not always the best idea. Anyhow, there's one thing that I discovered recently from reading the Calvary Messenger. I'll just back up a little bit. That Jesus died on the Passover, day of Passover. If I'm not mistaken, the next day was the day of unleavened bread. There's no life in unleavened bread. It doesn't rise. It just sits there, if I'm correct. The next day was the day of first fruits, according to the old law, where they were instructed to give the first fruits of their of whatever they grew to God. And so Jesus was, the Bible says, he was the first fruits of what the word is. Anyhow, Adam, God put him in a garden, and you know where the first place that they met Jesus was in a garden. The tomb was in a garden, and that's where Mary met Jesus, in the garden. Significant, all significant to what God has established down through history. Okay, number two, Jesus, he took power over Satan and all his endeavors. Gave power to believers to be forgiven and victory over all our problems, or all our sins, all our temptations. And Mark 15:38 says that the veil was ripped from top to bottom. I don't know how many horses it would have taken to do that, but there's some idea. So it opened up the Holy of Holies. And you know what? It's still open today. So now we have direct access to God. We don't need to go through a priest or a preacher, you know, to ask to be forgiven. There's some religions that do that, namely the Catholics. Jesus also said in John 15, whatsoever we can ask of the Father in his name will be given to us. Many of us have experienced that. Another scripture in Matthew 20, Jesus said, the part of the verse says, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world, or end of the age, in some of the translations. So today, we can safely say, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is your victory? Isn't that wonderful? So we don't have to fear those two. Sometimes when somebody passes away, our friends, it's hard on us, our flesh. We don't like to go through that. But did you ever get a little bit jealous that they got to go and we still have to be here? God has something for us to do. So, what I would like to sing that song, I Will Serve You. That's one of my favorite songs that we sing when all the children come to our house. I will serve you because I love you. You have given
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here this morning. Brother Dave asked if we would share a little bit something about the resurrection. And I know when I start with mine, you're going to think it's not to do with the resurrection, but just hang with me and we'll get there. But when Dave asked me, it just took me back to a conversation I had with somebody this week and decided I would share on that. And growing up, going to school, I was always fascinated by science and astronomy. I enjoyed astronomy, the stars, galaxies, and planets. So we were having a conversation with somebody this, I think it was Friday night, about this, and it was pretty interesting. So we were just talking about the sun and the speed of light and things like that, and one of the things is, if you could bend light around the Earth, and you could, you would see how fast it would travel. The speed of light, it would orbit around the Earth 7.5 times per second. That's how fast the speed of light is, and that would be 0.1 seconds every orbit. And then we were talking about how far the sun is from the Earth. Does anybody have any idea how far the sun is from the Earth, or James? Or did somebody say something? 93 million, that's pretty close. 93 million, that's pretty close. And if you were to fly to the sun, it would take you 7,045 days at 550 miles per hour. So about 19 years of your life you would have to give up to fly to the sun, if anybody's interested in that. And then another interesting one that I had never thought of or you know, heard really was it takes 8.5 minutes, pretty much 8.5 minutes for the sun, the light to travel from the sun to the earth. So in the morning, when we first see the sun technically has been up for 8.5 minutes already before we see it. And in the evening, when it goes down, it has been down for eight and a half minutes already when it goes down already, or when it's been down. And in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And I was just thinking about that. As great as the earth is and the planets and galaxies and everything God has made, it's pretty incredible, but nothing is quite as incredible as what he's preparing for us and on our resurrection day. And just that, what caught my attention is, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. So it hasn't even entered into our heart, and we can't even start to comprehend what God hath prepared for us on our resurrection day. This is Christ's resurrection day, but someday we all have our own resurrection day. And I'm pretty excited about that. And a couple more verses here. In John 14, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And there's Jesus' promise to us that he is preparing a place for us, and it will be way more grand than what this earth has to offer and what we think is crazy. And, you know, we think this is pretty, some of the things are pretty awesome that, you know, God's created, and it is, but what he's preparing for us on our resurrection day is quite a bit more impressive than this. And I'm excited for my resurrection day, and I hope you are too. So, bless you.
Is he worthy? He is. It's almost a foolish question, but it's well said and a beautiful song. Thank you for that. I'm thankful this morning that my faith is not vain because Jesus rose from the dead. To me, that's the most significant part, and Eli already spoke to that, the greatest thing that happened in history. But I had something in Acts 11 really stand out to me this week because it's personal. And so if you wanted to turn to Acts 11, I'm trying to get to verse 18, but I think I'm going to start in the beginning. It's a little bit of reading, but it sets up the response in verse 18. It's after Peter had the vision about the gospel being for the Gentiles also. And apparently, you know, this separation between the Jews and the Gentiles, it was a big deal. It was a big difference. And so it took some convincing. But then they were persuaded. So I'm going to start reading in chapter 11, verse 1. "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up from Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven, and behold immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen the angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That gets real personal. That gets really personal. I was so excited about that this week that I had to open my door and shout hallelujah, because I felt like it needed to get out into the world that this is now for us too. That's very special. And it took some convincing. It was shown to Peter three times, and he went through this whole story and convinced them, and so they finally stopped arguing with him about it. And I just want to read that again. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance. Hallelujah. And so I also wanted to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. This is also very familiar, but this is the proof that we can believe that, and then that can be personal and real. In verse 12, it says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he is risen, or that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. But Christ did raise. Your faith is not vain. And if you've repented and believed on him, you're not yet in your sins. It all hinges upon that, Eli. It all hinges upon that. He did raise. So now our faith that this life under repentance for the Gentiles also is not vain. It's real by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. May the Lord forever be praised. Thank you.
Good morning. Well, I didn't volunteer to share this morning, but Dave had asked me, so I told him I would, and told him I'm not a preacher, but I'll do my best. So, I would like to start out by, and thank you, Titus, for that. I enjoyed that, and the rest of you. One thing I thought of was, when we were singing that song, is about, when the question was, is he worthy? I had to think, are we worthy? You know, and I don't think with our own strength we could ever be worthy, but with him we are. And I thought that was pretty. I'd like to read a couple verses in Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was borne unto him, with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I just, this morning I was just thinking about what Christ actually did for us, what he actually suffered, and we can't even fathom the suffering that he went through, and not just on the cross, but you know, he probably experienced God's, you know, God's wrath, if you will, between the time when he was on the cross and he rose from the dead. That's what there's been different discussions about, that, like where actually Jesus went between then, and some people think that's actually the greatest suffering he endured was during that time. And and then thinking about him raising, you know, raising from the dead, and ultimately he did it for us, you know. I guess I just had a quick reading that I found this morning too, or actually yesterday. It says, how can Jesus give us abundant life in the face of our sickness or brokenness? Understanding why Jesus is able to transform us is key to stepping boldly before him and asking for that transformation. Through the cross, Jesus took on our sins, her sin, yes, but he also took on our sickness and our anxiety, our lack of peace. His sacrifice was more than enough to restore us. Both righteousness and life that comes with it, a life of health full to bursting. We were not meant to live with a partial understanding of what the cross did for you. Our greatest joy is that Jesus saved us in entirety, our spirit, our soul, our body. He was faithful to play the part of the good shepherd. He laid his life down for his sheep who had previously gone astray. Caught in sin and sickness, by laying down his life, he set you free to live the life that you were created to live. And I thought that was really good too. We're not just meant to, you know, survive here on this earth, and God wants us to thrive. And I feel like that's something that can be maybe hard to do sometimes with all the, I don't know, all the negativity in the world today and all the terrible things that are happening out there. You know, sometimes for myself, it's easy to, you know, become fearful or get down, and if we have the hope of Jesus in our lives, we don't have to live there, and fear has no grip. And I just remembered thinking of my own experiences when I got saved, and before that, how, like, I never really enjoyed Easter. I was always, you know, kind of afraid, and never, just didn't understand it. And I remember the first Easter that I experienced after being saved, and I just felt so much peace and joy, and I think that's what God wants. He wants us to be happy here on this earth and not be fearful. And I think that's about all I have, and that's not much, but I'm just really blessed and thankful that we can have assurance of salvation and all that. So thank you.